Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Believe in Falcons. I'm your host, Will McFadden. Jam-packed episode for y'all today. The draft begins tomorrow. The first round will kick off Thursday night. Falcons will be on the clock at pick number 8, barring any trades, and that is going to be the topic of discussion today. I have a bunch of guests, all of whom you should know or be very familiar with their work. All of them do a great job either covering the Falcons or, in the case of my usual co-host, playing for the Falcons. And what we're going to do is just kind of rapid fire go through every person. I recorded a bunch of separate little interviews with each of them, asking them one question. Falcons are on the clock at pick number 8. What are they going to do? You will hear each of their answers, including, you know, who they think the Falcons will pick, whether a trade will happen, where they may move back, and then who they would pick there. So that is, again, I thought the best way to just get a cohesive kind of group analysis about who the Falcons will end up taking on Thursday night. A few news and notes just before we get to all of today's amazing guests. After the Falcons make their pick on Thursday evening, I will hop on and do an immediate, quick, rapid reaction. May do that live on YouTube, so stay tuned. I'm going to try to figure that out. If the Falcons don't move all the way back to the end of the first round, the plan is for me to have Joe Patrick of 92.9 The Game, who is one of my guests on today's episode. He will join me to help kind of walk through the Falcons pick, how that player fits with the team, maybe what the process was there. And again, if there were any trades, kind of breaking down the value that the Falcons may have gotten in return. So that is the plan Thursday night. If, let's say, they move back to pick 31 for some reason, probably not going to have Joe on the pod at that point, because he will have a press conference to attend at the end of the first round. So it'll be a little bit of a touch and go situation on Thursday, but I would expect no crazy trade all the way back to the end of the first round, and that Joe will be able to hop on and join me. Friday morning, I will be joined by Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, a CBS Sports college football analyst and a Westwood One NFL analyst. You guys are probably familiar with his work as well. He is going to be kind enough to join me, and we're going to have a much deeper conversation about Atlanta's first round pick, because at that point, I will have a chance to really dig into the player. So that's what we've got coming up over the next couple of days. Yesterday, recorded a great podcast with Ovi Mahaley, breaking down Matt Ryan's retirement announcements. So please go check that out if you have not already. He shared some awesome stories about Matt Ryan's early years, what his leadership style was like, how he just commanded the presence, even as a rookie, and everybody knew that he was destined for big things. Terry Fontenot did hold his press conference Tuesday afternoon, and, you know, pretty standard run-of-the-mill stuff. There's not anything that was groundbreaking there. He did explain that Raheem Morris's tell for if he likes a prospect is to use Batman sound effects, you know, like bam, pow, whoom, like all of that stuff, which I found pretty delightful. And that totally tracks if you know Raheem Morris. So that was kind of the funniest little bit that that came out of the press conference. But it's on YouTube. It's on the Falcons channels. Go check that out if you want. Again, there was nothing major to take away from that. The final thing, it looks like per Adam Schefter, no, you know, unveiling of the NFL's investigation into potential tampering by the Falcons will be coming this week. So won't expect any draft picks to be forfeited for this year's draft, which is excellent news for the Atlanta Falcons. And it seems like everything can just kind of proceed as normal from here on out. So I'm going to kick things off. I'm going to share my prediction for who the Falcons will pick at number 8. And then we're going to get it rolling and have on just a wide swath of guests for you guys. So settle in, get ready to hear a lot of draft talk. But first, BetOnline is the number one source for all your summer sports this season, including Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoff stats. Get all of the latest news and scores available to follow your favorite teams as closely as ever. Get the latest odds and lines, including up-to-the-date team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, so the Falcons are on the clock, pick number 8. I think they will entertain a bunch of trade offers, and I expect that if the right one is there, they probably will look at moving back to, you know, 12 to 15. That seems like a good range. I could also see one of those teams 17 to 23, kind of that range as well, making a serious offer for the Falcons to move up and mostly get in front of the Bears, especially if Rome Odunze is there. But I wouldn't count out the possibility of a Brock Bowers, somebody really identifying him and making a hard push to try to, let's say you're the Bengals, you want to get in front of the Colts, right? That could potentially be on the table. I also think that if a team clearly feels one of these tackles, maybe outside of Joe Alt, who I expect to go, is the clear kind of the only other guy in that top tier, maybe that's a possibility. And you never know. We've heard a lot of Byron Murphy stock this past week. I think for the Falcons, that's a little bit superfluous given David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett are on this roster. However, both of those guys, as crazy it is to say about Grady Jarrett, and I would hate this, there is a chance that this is the final season for both of those guys in a Falcons uniform. And you do have to start planning for the future. So there's a chance that the Falcons take a hard look at Byron Murphy, but there's also a chance if, you know, the recent reports from David Jeremiah are to believe that another team feels Byron Murphy's a difference maker, wants to come up and, you know, potentially get ahead of the Bears for a player like that. However, whether the Falcons pick at number 8 and stay there, or they make that slight jump back, I think that Leiatu Latu is going to be the pick. I have kind of trended that way over the last month or so. Those who listen to this podcast will certainly know that. However, I have also shared on the pod that when I was initially doing my scouting for last year's draft, I thought Leiatu Latu was coming out at that point. It was kind of before everybody had declared, and I just popped on his tape and I was blown away. I was like, this dude is awesome. He plays with his hair on fire. He just does not give up and just runs either through people or, again, his pass rush arsenal is so advanced that he has counters to everybody else's counters, which allows him to at least look like he is constantly in the fight. And I love that. He moves all around the defensive front. He is in the A gap. He goes B gap. He goes all the way out wide to the 9 technique. And he just kind of has a plan no matter where he is on the field. And even if he's the furthest person away from the football, he's busting his ass to get there. I love that about him. So when I realized he wasn't coming out in last year's draft, I was like, all right, mental note, filing that away. I'm going to keep an eye on this guy. And then throughout the season, he just does it again. He's just once again one of the best defensive players in all of college football. And if he had played at Alabama, we would all know his name and he would probably be a Heisman finalist. It's just that he plays out on the West Coast and not too many people, I think, here in Georgia are watching UCLA Bruins games. But I know that there are some concerns about his arm length. You know, Aaron Freeman, Kevin Knight, they've both kind of made those concerns, I think, pretty clear. But I wanted to go and just figure out, all right, like, is that really a death sentence for a pass rusher? So Liatu Latu has 32 5/8-inch arms. Here are some players who have arm lengths shorter than that who have had success in the NFL. Trey Hendrickson, 32-inch arms. Derek Barnett, 32 1/8-inch arms. Aiden Hutchinson, ever heard of him? 32 1/8-inch arms. Yannick Ngakoue, 32 1/2-inch arms. Bud Dupree, 32 5/8-inch arms. George Karlaftis, 32 5/8-inch arms. And of course, Liatu Latu is that same number as well. Hassan Reddick, the player most Falcons fans were clamoring for a month and a half ago via trade, 32 3/4-inch arms, 1/8-inch longer than Liatu Latu. So it can be done. It can be done. You can be a successful pass rusher in the NFL with arms as long as Liatu Latu's. Sure, they are short historically, 16th percentile according to Mock Draftable. If that's a concern for you, I totally understand it. However, I just don't think it is a big enough concern that should cause everybody to overlook the incredible production he's had throughout his career, the energy and the effort that this guy plays with, and by all accounts, the kind of team leader and competitor that he is. So that is my pick. Again, not knowing the medicals, I expect that, you know, obviously he wouldn't be getting talked about still as a potential top 10 pick if teams were seriously flagging his medical situation for the neck injury that caused him to medically retire back when he was with Washington. Jimmy Lake, he was the head coach there. Liatu Latu was a student assistant even after he medically retired. So I have to imagine that there is at least some type of cordial relationship. Who knows? Jimmy Lake may love the guy. Jimmy Lake may hate the guy. I don't know that information. I would assume that the Falcons have made those feelings very, very clear, have gotten the full checkout from Jimmy Lake on Liatu Latu and have done their research. But when you turn on the tape, there's not anybody that I watched that was more fun from a defensive perspective than Liatu Latu. And so that is why I am making him my pick for the Atlanta Falcons, whether that is number 8. And I would feel fine about that. For everybody who says, yeah, but you got to trade back, he would be there at 17. We don't know that. I'm sure that there are a lot of teams that have Liatu Latu at the top of their draft board for edge players because he is the best pass rusher right now of any of the players coming out of in this draft class. So for that reason, there are going to be some teams that love him, and I hope the Falcons are among them. So whether it's at 8 or whether it is at 15, I just hope they get Liatu Latu. So that is my prediction for the Falcons. Locking it in. Let's go get Liatu Latu. But now let's hear what some other people think. Joined now by Aaron Freeman, the host of Locked On Falcons. Aaron, the Falcons are on the clock at pick number 8. What are they doing?
I don't know, Will, but I will do for this exercise. I will do my best to give my best guess. But I think the Falcons are going to take Dallas Turner, edge rusher out of Alabama, at 8. I think there's a possibility they could trade back, but I'll just, for the time being, stick and pick at 8 and take the first defensive player off the board. And that will be Dallas Turner, the edge rusher out of Alabama.
I love it. You know, I know we throughout this whole process have debated, discussed a lot of the top pass rushers, some of the top corners. Why is Dallas Turner, do you feel, the right person to be the pick here at number 8?
I think he has a lot of things that you like if you're the Falcons, right? If you're Raheem Morris and you're going to come in and you're going to port over a lot of things you did the last couple of years with the LA Rams into this defense under new defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake, which involved a lot of simulated pressures, which are, you know, basically blitzes that only involve a team rushing four, but you just don't know which four guys are coming. And often that involves one of your main four pass rushers dropping into coverage as opposed to rushing the quarterback. Dallas Turner really fits really well. The Rams were in the third most, I think, simulated pressures last year in the NFL. And Dallas Turner's coverage ability makes him just a kind of a much more natural fit in that type of defense. I also think, you know, it's not just the coverage ability. It is the pass rush ability. I don't think he's as polished a pass rusher coming into the NFL as maybe some of the other top edge rushers like Tuilagi or Jared Verse out of UCLA and Florida State, respectively. But I do think he's not that far below those guys. And I think he brings a lot of potential in terms of his pass rush, and the player that he could be 3 years from now as a pass rusher could be one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. I think there's a lot of Josh Allen, the Jaguars edge rusher, a lot of Brian Burns to his game. He's not, again, not as polished as those guys, but he's a lot younger than some of those guys were coming into the NFL. So I think that's the type of upside that Dallas Turner brings. And so you couple that pass rush potential with the coverage ability, you know, from all accounts, he's a high character guy. We know the Falcons love their makeup. So I think he's checking a lot of the boxes that the Falcons are looking for at that position.
In your mind, and it's a little unfair, I'm asking you to project, you know, not only who they're going to pick here at eight, but also let's project even further out. It's training camp, it's preseason, and now it is the start of week one. Is Dallas Turner, in your mind, a starting edge player, or is he kind of that passing down, really we're bringing him off the bench to start his career and maybe having Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebiketie, any of those guys as your early down players? Or again, is Dallas Turner that three down, he was number eight for a reason, and we believe he can do it all player?
Yeah, I think he would be that three down guy. I think unless Arnold Ebiketie makes a significant jump in terms of his run defense this year and over the course of training camp, that he's probably better suited to be that DPR, that designated pass rusher, coming off the bench in a sort of three-man rotation with Turner, with you know, Lorenzo Carter. I think Carter is probably the better run defender, so he makes a little bit more sense on rundowns. I think Dallas Turner's probably a little bit further ahead of Arnold Ebiketie, at least coming into the league. Again, Ebiketie's had 2+ years of development, so he could surpass him. So I do see Dallas Turner maybe being a little bit more willing to mix it up in terms of his run fits than Arnold Ebiketie, based off of what we saw from Ebiketie last year. But certainly, you know, there's a path for Ebiketie to make a big jump that, you know, we could see Dallas Turner being more seen as that designated pass rusher coming off the bench rather than a full-time starter.
And my last question before I let you go is, where does cornerback kind of stack in this? Is it purely that, all things considered, Dallas Turner is, in your mind, the best defensive player in this draft and you have a chance to add him here? Or is edge clearly the number one need in your mind over corner?
Yeah, I think edge is the clear need. I think the need at corner is a second corner, because, you know, I think AJ Terrell is going to get a contract extension at some point in the next 4 to 5 months. And, you know, so I think those long-term concerns at cornerback will age poorly, let's say 4 to 5 months from now. And so you really just kind of need a secondary corner. And obviously, you know, in a league that the passing league and all that stuff, and with some of the weapons that we see in the NFC South, we've seen Chris Olave and Mike Evans and Chris Kyle, et cetera. Like, you do need a quality corner to play opposite AJ Terrell. But I think you need a pass rusher that can be a true difference maker, right? You don't have an edge rusher. You know, Arnold Ebiketie at this point in time is probably like a 6 to 8 sack guy. Lorenzo Carter is like a 4 to 6 sack guy, probably at best at this point. Like, getting somebody who can be that 8, 10, 12, 15 sack a year type of guy, to me, is a much bigger priority than getting a guy that can be a quality number two at this point in time. So that's why I stack edge above corner.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, Dallas Turner is the pick at number eight. Aaron, thank you so much for joining me. Please go check out Locked On Falcons for other great Falcons coverage. I'm joined now by Josh Kendall, who does an excellent job covering the Falcons for The Athletic. Josh, the Falcons are on the clock, pick number eight. What are they doing?
I think they're trading it back. I think they're trading back with somebody. I don't think they're trading back to the end of the first round, although I think, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs way back there are interested in moving up. So maybe you get a haul there or a semi-haul. But I think they're trading back a few spots, the middle of the first round, because I think that they could take any number of guys. My money at the moment is on Quinyon Mitchell, but I am not ruling out Byron Murphy, and you can't rule out Dallas Turner or Leatu Latu or even Jared Verse. Sign me up for a defensive player and sign me up for Quinyon Mitchell in a trade back situation at the moment.
He does seem like, you know, he was a standout at the Senior Bowl. We know the Falcons like to see guys who perform well at the Senior Bowl. My one question, but this can't be helped, is really just that jump in competition level, right? Coming from Toledo, but he seems to check every single box. I think it's a strong pick, and I think he would be a really interesting player to plug into this secondary. But your list was all defensive guys. You said, give me a defensive guy. I'm curious, and I was listening to Randy Mueller and Mike Sando's podcast earlier today. Also work for The Athletic with you, and they were going over their top defensive prospects. And, you know, when you start building out your list of top 10, like they were saying, you quickly are getting into day two guys where just teams could have these defensive players stacked. We know Terry Fontenot has said best player available is the approach they'd like to take in a draft where offense seems to be the clear favorite in terms of just talent at the top end, but also depth. Is there any logic, you know, or any part of you that thinks, hey, maybe they stick at eight, maybe they take Roma Dunze. Maybe that's just the guy that they think is the best player literally available, and they keep on adding to that group. I mean, are you really sold it'll be defense?
I'm pretty sold it'll be defense. Would it shock me if Roma Dunze is available and they take him? No, it would not. That would not shock me because, you know, Arthur Blank is on record saying he would like to score more points. It's the reason they paid Kirk Cousins $100-something million. They've added wide receivers in the free agency market, but they've added mostly unproven guys in Darnell Mooney and Ray-Ray McCloud and Rondale Moore. Drake London is the only top-shelf wide receiver you have on this roster at the moment. If you could add another one and think to yourself, we'll take care of our defensive deficiencies by outscoring people, yeah, absolutely. If you have Roma Dunze ranked as a blue chip prospect and you don't have any of those defensive guys ranked that way, yeah
I guess that's a great way how you frame that right at the very end is again, like, there's no question that they could use a defensive player. They could totally use that number two corner. They could use a premier edge rusher. But, you know, if you have question marks about whether the defensive guys at the top of this class can become those types of players, and you have less question marks about some of the offensive guys, that could be the sticking point. But the key thing here is you have them trading down, accumulating more draft capital, which, of course, increases the value. Before I let you go, Josh, any final thoughts as we are right here at the doorstep of the draft? Anything that's just been rattling around in the back of your mind?
Just the same thing that's rattling around this part of the week every year, which is let's just get it over with now. We've talked about it so much. Let's get to Thursday night. Let's find out.
Yeah, I was telling my friend, colleague, Kevin Knight, next year I'm just going to take a vacation for these first 3 days. I'm coming back 7:30 draft night, Thursday night, turning on the TV because it's all smokescreen season, it feels like, right now, and it's hot and heavy. But thank you so much, Josh, for taking the time to join me. And please, everybody, go check out his final 7-round mock draft, which hit The Athletic Monday morning. So thank you so much again, Josh. I'm joined now by Gina Kelly, the deputy NFL editor at SB Nation. Gina, the Falcons are on the clock. It's pick number 8. Who are they taking?
Dallas Turner. We've been waiting for them to really address the edge rush position for so long. I feel like he is such a strong prospect. I think that he has a really good chance of panning out at the next level. And so I think that we've been asking for them to spend a high pick on an edge rusher since they did spend one on Vic Beasley and he didn't really pan out. So I would like to see this team being able to consistently get after the quarterback, and he would help.
I think everybody is definitely in agreement with you there. Getting after the quarterback would be a welcome sight for this Falcons team. And I'm curious because, you know, we've gone back and forth on the Falcolic. I've talked to Kevin a lot. I've talked to Dave, a lot of different people to get their opinions. And Of the three pass rushers, it feels like Leiatu Latu and Dallas Turner are kind of the consensus two. I really like Jared Verse. It feels like from a scheme standpoint, you know, the other two maybe make a little bit more sense. Do you think we've just gotten bored with Dallas Turner over this process? Because the draft cycle starts earlier than ever. It is hot and heavy, like for 3 months. Have we just figured out other people to talk about, but it really has always just been love at first sight with Dallas Turner? Is that kind of your rationale on this?
I think so. And I mean, we see it happen every single year. It'll be, you know, a little thing like a comment that they make to the media and all of a sudden their stock tanks. Like yeah, everything is so tenuous leading up to the draft. And the closer we get, the more things seem to change. But yeah, I still think that he would be the best fit. If he's still available at 8, I think the Falcons should stand pat and grab him.
And the other kind of position that seems to be on the table, or at least on people's minds, potentially at 8, potentially with a trade back, would be corner. Mm-hmm. And we know that the history with Raheem Morris, with Jerry Gray, with Jimmy Lake, those guys are secondary guys initially in their careers. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense adding a top tier pass rusher to boost the pass rush. But there's also a prevailing theory that you can help your pass rush by giving them an extra half second or two. Is where do you land on just solely addressing the pass rush need with a pass rusher versus addressing it kind of through other means, maybe by adding one of these top corners?
Yeah, I think that it would be irresponsible not to factor in how important strong coverage is to the pass rush. I remember talking to Desmond Trufant a few years ago about, you know, kind of how that works. And he's like, if we're having to cover people for, you know, 5-6 seconds before they can get to the quarterback, you know, we can only do that for so long. And so, yeah, I think that obviously corner is a really important position. That said, a good pass rush makes life easier for the secondary too. So I do think that really where they have missed in recent years is getting somebody in who's really an effective pass rusher. And so that's why I would rather focus on that side of things, because I know that it will make the secondary better too.
Awesome. Well, Dallas Turner, I think, would be a welcome sight for a lot of Falcons fans. He's been a popular pick. So we will see what the team actually decides to do on Thursday night. It is nearly here. I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Gina, for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Joined now by Kevin Knight, my colleague at the Falcoholic and also the host of Dirty Birds and Brews. He is here. The Falcons are on the clock. Pick number 8. Kevin, what you got?
All right. Well, I don't think they're likely to make a pick at 8. I think that they're going to be working the phones, that they want to move. And I think there's a ton of teams that want to move up into 8. That, so it works both ways this year, right? I think it's that situation where if a wide receiver falls, teams are going to want to get in front of the Bears. They're not going to trust that the Bears are going to trade with them for that receiver. They can't really afford to take that risk if they really want that last receiver. The teams that are maybe trying to get up for the 5th quarterback, which sounds ridiculous to say, but you know that you've seen the buzz. Well, you know, Michael Penix could go at 8. And I know some people took that to mean like the Falcons are going to take Mike. No, someone else is going to take Michael Penix at 8 is what that means. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But I think for the Falcons, the ideal situation would be like trading down to like 13 with the Raiders for that second round pick. And, you know, with all this buzz about the tampering stuff and whatnot, like if they were to lose picks in this draft, which I still think is unlikely. I think it's likely to be next year's draft. That's typically how they've done things outside of, you know, with the Cardinals and Eagles last year, people brought that up. The teams agreed to a settlement. That's why the punishment was dealt out like right before the draft. I don't think that would have happened otherwise. So that was kind of a unique thing. And maybe there's some situation where the Falcons do that too. But I think like going down to 13 with the Raiders, you can get the second round pick because they actually have one, unlike most of the teams from like 10 to 14 for some reason. And, you know, maybe the Raiders want the quarterback. That's probably the move that they're looking to make to leapfrog these other teams. And you get that extra second round pick. It could replenish any assets you may or may not have lost in this year's class. And it gives you the opportunity to draft probably the edge rusher you were going to draft at 8 anyway. You know, maybe Dallas Turner goes at 9 if somebody takes a receiver at 8. But honestly, if nobody takes a receiver at 8 and the Bears take Roma Dunze or whatever at 9, like Dallas Turner and Laiatu Latu and Jared Verse might all be there at 13. So like, there's no situation where you trade under 13 and don't get one of the top three edge rushers. So that's a pretty safe place to trade. They could go further than that. Like, I know I'm going to be releasing a mock where they trade down to 19 with the Rams, which is what happened in the SB Nation Writers mock draft. And they picked up a future first and some other stuff, which was cool. And Latu fell to 19, you know? So it's like that it's possible that that happens just because of teams are just desperate for offensive tackles and other positions and the edge guys could just fall. So this is a good draft to trade down is the short answer. And I think whether it's to, you know, I think it sort of starts at 10 and goes all the way back to probably 19 in terms of the range. But I think this is the first year where I feel like they're really actively trying to trade down. And, you know, they need to if they can, given the type of players that they want.
Well, I appreciate you ducking the question and dancing around it, Kevin, but who are you picking? Who is Kevin Knight picking? We've traded back to 13. Who are the Falcons selecting?
Yeah, so after said trade down, I do think this is a hard one because if it was up to me, like some of the things say Laiatu Latu, and that's ultimately who I'm going to go with if they do trade down because I think Dallas Turner is probably going to be the first defensive player taken, so that makes it easy. It's like a cop-out for me. But Latu doesn't necessarily fit the archetype that they've had, which is that they love length. Like the length has been something they prioritize pretty much universally. And Latu has the shortest arms of any of the top three pass rushers. But he checks all their character boxes. Obviously they've got the connection with Jimmy Lake. He's probably the most polished of all the pass rushers. You know, he's instant impact guy. I think obviously he makes sense from that angle. But you know, if they stay at 8, it's probably going to be Dallas Turner because again, he fits the length measurables. He, you know, has the coverage experience, which I really don't think you should be evaluating edge rushers through the lens of, can they drop into coverage? But, you know, I guess that's important maybe to them. So yeah, I will say ultimately, I do think it's going to be Latu at the end of the day, but, if they stay at 8, maybe Dallas Turner, but are they going to stay at 8? Probably not at this point. Like, it just feels like there's just way too much buzz that they're going to try to move out. And I can't imagine that there won't be some, like, cause it kind of doesn't matter who's there. If Joe Alt's there, somebody's going to want Joe Alt. If right. Roma Dunze is there, somebody's going to want Rome. If JJ McCarthy is there, somebody's going to want him. So it's like, they're going to be getting calls, no matter what. So it really just depends on if the offers are good enough.
Yeah, it's a great spot for the Falcons to be in. I do think their phone is going to be ringing off the hook in Flowery Branch. Like you said, there's a lot of interesting players available at a few different positions, right? And so that is always going to help increase the possibility of a trade. And if these defensive ends, edge players, even corners, if they're all kind of lumped together and they're in that same tier of player, then it does become a question of what additional value can we get? And that is where I think, it makes it very likely for Atlanta to be interested in trading back. And I agree with you, Latu is my preference because I do think right now he is purely the best pass rusher. And that's what the Falcons need. He did have 2 interceptions in coverage. He just wasn't asked to do it a lot because he was going after the quarterback. And that's what I want this guy to do. So I love your pick there. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me. And now we can just look forward to Laiatu Latu being on this Falcons defense. So
absolutely.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay, Ovi. The Falcons right now have the number 8 pick. What do you expect them to do with it?
I'm actually got invited to the Falcons draft party. It's like fourth year in a row. I guess they like me or something.
But you're good luck.
Going to the Falcons draft party at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and going to be hosting some friends of mine. And I hope they pick a quarterback. It's unpopular, wildly unpopular.
Wow, at number eight?
At number eight, I would love to get Michael Penix Jr. I would love to get somebody to back up Kirk Cousins. I'm not wishing this man ill, but I just feel like with his age, with the money, with the fact that Falcons going to Falcon has been my unfortunate tagline. I've been hoping it would not happen, but at some point, he's going to get injured. And we've already seen that Heinicke is not going to win his games. Like, despite him being decent in Washington, he's not going to come here and win his games. He's barely a step above Ritter. Maybe it was because of the coaching staff. Who knows? But having a young quarterback like Michael Penix Jr. to be an Aaron Rodgers, heir apparent, sit behind and, you know, step in if when Kirk gets hurt, I feel like that's the smartest thing for us to do because we saw how we're good in every other arena. We're good. We can win games. We can go to the playoffs as is. The only thing we were missing last year is a quarterback. And we can get better at other places, but as far as like what's keeping us from winning games and being playoff ready, as a quarterback, you really want to put all your hopes and dreams in Kirk Cousins and have nothing backup wise that could even step in and give us a W? Because again, Heinicke's not going to do it. Why on earth would we not get a young insurance policy that's going to be able to hopefully sit for a year, 2 years, and give us that Aaron Rodgers effect where, bam, Kirk Cousins decides to retire in 2 or 3 years. We have a franchise quarterback who's been learning for 2 years and has come in 1 or 2 games every year and can go. Because defensive end is great, but we actually had the best year rushing the passer, getting those sacks that we've ever had. And we can develop these same young guys and get the defense humming the way it was before. An edge rusher would be nice, but what's more important than an edge rusher? A quarterback. That's my thoughts.
I'm curious because, you know, a minute ago you said that if the Falcons don't make the playoffs, it will be because they were missing a piece if the draft pick was taken away due to the tampering investigation. However, if you take Michael Penix, we'll just use, you know, him as the example here. He's not going to see the field this year, hopefully, right? If he does, you're taking another piece off the field in Kirk Cousins. So I guess help me understand a little bit your logic behind taking somebody who with your first round pick, who is then ostensibly not going to see the field for a couple of years when you are in such a win now mode. And yeah, you feel like maybe you don't absolutely need to add one more pass rusher, need to add one more cornerback, but it couldn't hurt, right?
True. My thought is, again, I don't want to wish ill on no one, but I just feel like with that Achilles, we're all thinking that he is Iron Man, that he is Mr. Indestructible. And I'm like, granted, technology's great. People are healing faster. I mean, Aaron Rodgers almost came back from his Achilles, but it's still an Achilles. He's still in his late 30s. He's still going to not be as mobile as we would like him to be. And these crazy, fast, scary, big, mean defensive ends are trying to do damage with people. I think Michael Penix is going to get playing time this year. If we get a quarterback, they're going to get playing time. It's going to be the best thing we've ever done to have a backup plan. Because all the great teams, a lot of the great teams that don't have the Iron Man quarterbacks, they've had somebody come in there, spell 2 or 3 games, and their starter comes back and they don't miss a beat. We don't have that. We've always had a huge drop off because we've had such amazing quarterbacks like Matt Ryan. But with Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix, the drop off, it won't be as bad. And plus, we'll be preparing somebody who can be a long term franchise quarterback for us. So I'm scarred from the Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota days. I'm just super scarred from how much one position can ruin a whole season, a whole team, a whole franchise. We're all sitting there like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how great our defense is doing. It doesn't matter how great our running game is. We can have, Algiers doing his thing. Our quarterbacks are terrible. So I would love to have a backup and insurance plan for the quarterback by any means necessary.
Hey, it makes a lot of sense to me. I personally, let's get a guy who's going to see the field, but the Falcons have said that they plan to add a third quarterback, right? And if they do so with the number 8 pick and it is Michael Penix, give me 2 minutes and I will wrap my head around it and I will be ready to go and all aboard the Michael Penix train, right? So it's one of those where I think right now you are looking at all of the options given what they've already done, bringing in Kirk Cousins. And again, my mind is 2024, 2025, that's your window with Kirk. Let's maximize it. Let's get as much talent around him, both offensively and defensively, and go from there. But you're taking the wiser, long-term approach. You're seeing what Jordan Love is doing in Green Bay. You're seeing what, you know, nobody wants to be compared to Patrick Mahomes, but what Patrick Mahomes did after sitting for a year, you know, there is a lot of merit to having a little bit of patience and foresight in your team building. And I think that the Falcons, after just going what they did with Matt Ryan and the succession plan there, they could do a lot worse than figuring out the quarterback succession plan, even though they figured out the immediate future of the position. Joe Patrick, the Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game, who does an incredible job covering the team, joins me now. Joe, the Falcons are on the clock. Pick number 8. Let's assume everybody went offense for the first 7 picks. It's lining up. You've got your selection of all the defensive guys. The 4 quarterbacks are off the board. If you want Michael Penix, if you want Bo Nix, have at it. Otherwise, I'm turning it over to you. Who are the Atlanta Falcons taking now that they are on the clock?
Well, if the 4 quarterbacks have gone off the board and they're all offensive players, then that means, unless the Titans don't go with Joe Alt, but I would think that there's probably a wide receiver that's still on the board. So, like, pretty much everybody is saying, if I'm Fontenot, definitely on the phones, trying to trade down. And I know there are a lot of people who are saying, like, you only want to trade down into a certain range. Frankly, I feel like I'd be willing to move down a lot lower than other people would be, just because for me, there's so much defensive talent that is not really tiered in the way that it typically is, where you have these elite prospects that are clearly above, you know, certain other prospects. And for me, there's obviously been a lot of talk with the 3 big edge rushers in this draft, but also I think at corner, there's a lot of different options the Falcons can go with if they want to do that with their first pick. And I will just say that on that note, my pick for the Falcons, if it's at 8 or if they do trade down, I'm going with Quinyon Mitchell as my pick here. If he's not available, I'm actually interested in Cooper DeJean. If team goes further down, I think that Cooper DeJean would give the team a lot of that, maybe potentially fill a safety and corner need kind of simultaneously. And safety's kind of been a bit of an interesting position of need for the Falcons this offseason. But if I'm picking at 8, it's Quinyon Mitchell. He's the guy for me. Reason why is largely off of kind of the way that the contracts are structured right now in this roster, where you have AJ Terrell, who the Falcons have not yet extended on the 5th year option, although that could still happen in the coming days. I'm sure that they'll want to actually just have the draft play out before they formally, you know, make that decision. But I think that Quinyon Mitchell gives them a lot of leverage when it comes to deciding what they want to do in that defensive backfield going forward. And obviously it leaves a massive, you know, void at the edge position. But the way that I see this is that that's going to be, regardless of whichever you choose, whether it's a corner or an edge, you are going to be essentially foregoing a starting position on your defense and a really important one. I think because of the struggles that the Falcons have had for so many years, getting to the quarterback as a team, not even just having the one guy who can do it, but just as a team, not getting there as much as other teams around the league. That just, there's that kind of, you're frothing at the mouth for that guy who can do it. But the way I see it is, like, if you can pair AJ Terrell with another really top tier corner, I mean, the Jets had a lot of success with that. Obviously, they have a very, you know, just amazing defense kind of across the board. But I really think that what they've done in their defensive backfield sets the table for a lot of the ways they can manipulate their fronts and try to get to the quarterback. And so that's the gamble I'm taking.
It makes a lot of sense to me, and I really like where your head's at. And when you say, you know, trading back, and a lot of people saying, okay, well, you trade back to like 11, right? That Vikings pick, or you move into the mid-teens, but you want to make sure you're still going to get one of those top three edge rushers, or maybe your top pick at corner. I agree that I think even if they go into the 20s, like, they're going to have options there, because we're going to see runs on tackles. We're going to see, you know, potentially a couple of wide receivers going. And so a Cooper DeJean could absolutely be there at pick, I don't know, 25, right? And he is a player that you talk about the versatility, what they can do on the back end. You got Raheem Morris, you got Jimmy Lake, you got Jerry Gray. They can get really creative with their safeties, with their corners. Inside-outside versatility, I think, is going to be very beneficial to the secondary. So even if it's Quinyon Mitchell, like, he was a player who was an absolute stud at the Senior Bowl. We know that the Falcons really take a hard look. They like to evaluate these guys at the Senior Bowl. So those two picks, I love. One name you didn't mention, Terrion Arnold. Talk to me a little bit about him. Why do you have Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell ahead of Terrion Arnold?
So it's interesting. For me, it's a bit more of just a scheme fit. I find Terrion Arnold to be more of a like on the line coverage kind of man cover corner. That
Ryan Nielsen corner.
Exactly. And yeah. So for me, I think if they still had Ryan Nielsen, I think Terrion Arnold might be their number one corner that they're looking at. And I also think that Jared Verse would actually be pick team at number eight. Yeah. I don't even think they would consider trading down. I think that they would just want to go and get Jared Verse to be that power DN that, you know, those teams had for so long, and who Ryan Nielsen clearly loves when went that way when the team signed Calais Campbell. So it's kind of funny because in a different scheme, I think that they're looking at kind of a totally different set of players. I'm interested to see, just generally speaking, how this kind of new defensive scheme, how the players adapt to it, because it is kind of reverting back. It was a big change going to Ryan Nielsen from DPs, and now it seems like they're going back to more of a P's-ish style of defense. So I am interested to see not only what players might take a little bit longer to adjust, but maybe it actually suits some players like a Troy Anderson, who was kind of in a when you were projecting what this team might be coming into this year, if it were Ryan Nielsen with the year that Nate Landman had, where did it Troy Anderson into that? I think there's a lot more options that this team will have for a player like him. So, but when it comes to this draft pick, Will, you know, to me, it's just, it's a matter of, just extracting the most value that you can out of this draft and out of this pick. Yep. And, you know, is the value difference between, let's say Dallas Turner versus Cooper DeJean, is the value difference between them so large that you wouldn't want to add, like, potentially a first round pick in a future year, or we could just say a second round pick to be safe, but is that making up for that talent gap between those two players? I think that that's ultimately kind of the calculus that Atlanta and that the Falcons will be going through this draft process.
Absolutely. No, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, because that's the main factor to me as well. Is there somebody that we are so rock solid about at number eight that he's far and away better? And even if you pile on the added value of extra draft picks this year, next year, what have you, that we're so sure this guy's going to be an all pro, we're going to take him? Or, yeah, do you go get a player that, if all things are kind of about the same, then you have more bites at the apple later in this draft or in future years. So you guys can check out Joe's work on 92.9 The Game. He does an amazing job. Going to try to check in with him again on draft night, get his immediate thoughts on that. But until then, Joe, thank you so much for joining me.
That's cool. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
I am joined now by Dave Choate, the editor-in-chief over at The Falcoholic. Dave, the Falcons are on the clock at pick number eight. What are they doing?
I imagine they're going to get Dallas Turner. And I think in some ways that's almost not because Dallas Turner is a boring player, but it's boring because all we've seen mocked to the Falcons for months now is Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner. But I think it's the most logical pick. I think as much as I would personally like to see the Falcons move back, I have to go by Terry Fontenot's track record. Sort of the likelihood of a quarterback somebody wants to move up for being there at number eight and so forth, and say they'll stay put and then they'll take the pass rusher that they feel is the best fit for them. And one of the reasons that I find Turner so compelling is because of that high-end athleticism. I think he's sort of scratching the upside that he could have in the NFL to be, you know, spectacular kind of double-digit sacks, not that sacks are everything, but double-digit sack guy that the Falcons haven't had in a million years. The fact that he has experience, as some have noted, you know, dropping back into coverage, which is something that Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake are going to ask their edge rushers to do at times as they try to mix where pressure is coming from, disguise things a little bit. And I just think every indication is that, you know, he's a high character, you know, high motor type of player that'll fit really well with this defense. And if it feels a little bit needs-based for a team that prides themselves on being best player available, well, that's okay with me. I think Turner is going to be one of the best players on the board at that point, and the Falcons need that pass rush help so desperately that you certainly won't hear me complaining. If they end up with any of the trio of sort of top edge rushers or even Byron Murphy from Texas to help out the interior. But I think there's a reason Turner keeps being mocked there, and I think he is the obvious pick at eight.
Yeah, it's a great choice. Exceptional athlete, right? Comes from a program you can't really dispute what Alabama does defensively. You've got the kind of direct comparison in Will Anderson, who was really, really great as a rookie as well. And so it makes a lot of sense. I think that when you do look at what this defense is probably going to be, I think that having somebody with the upside of Dallas Turner fits this, what they're looking for, right? You do need somebody who is going to draw the attention of the offense coming off the edge, and they just don't really have any one player that can do that. Yeah, you can kind of manufacture, I think, a little bit of a pass rush and get some pressure on the quarterback, but for you to be able to do everything I think they want to do on the back end, having somebody who can single-handedly generate some of that pressure is absolutely a necessity for me. And the best player available kind of conversation is interesting because, yeah, when you take three players on the offensive side of the ball the last 3 years and you say, well, they were the best player available, you also have an offensive coach. So I think that having Raheem Morris in place, knowing what he did last year with guys like Colby Turner and young defensive players, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to me. Even if it's not the quote unquote best player available, there are too many kind of needs on the defensive side of the ball. They've done too much work on the offensive side of the ball the last, not just this offseason, the last 3 years, where that conversation can kind of go out of the window a little bit for me. And it frees you up to take, whether it's a defensive end, a corner, somebody on the defensive side of the ball, I for sure think will be the pick here.
Completely. Yeah. And I will be very thrilled if it is. I mean, I know they've taken a couple swings at the edge rusher over the last decade or so with mixed success, but it's time to go back to the well. Yeah.
Keep swinging.
Always keep swinging.
All right, Dave. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you making the pick here, and we will all look forward to seeing what Dallas Turner can do in a Falcons uniform.
Hell yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. It was a long one, but it was a fun one. A lot of varying opinions. How about Ovi? Just throwing out Michael Penix Jr. there as his pick. I love that. I love the confidence. Not sure how much that would mean for the 2024 season, but it's never a bad thing to look ahead. So again, thank y'all for listening to today's episode, which as always was presented by Bet Online. The draft is here. What else can I say? We will be back Thursday night once the Falcons make their pick, a rapid reaction to whoever that player is, and then we'll be off and running. We'll know who the Falcons have added to their roster in the first round, and then still a lot of fun to be had from that point on. So I hope you guys will stay tuned for all of it. But until then, everybody, take care.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! sports. And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.